Welcome to Gen Z Hoops, the Gen Z basketball, coaching, and sports business show. On this podcast, you'll learn from professional players, coaches, and executives from all over the world and see the court in a brand new way. And now, joining you courtside, your Gen Z host, John Hartafillis.
What's going on?
Everything's good this way. How you doing, John?
Doing great. It's been a while since I saw you in the stands over there in Vegas. It was the first time I got to meet you in person. But awesome seeing you there, and happy we can get the show going. I mean, obviously, you've had a lot of experience in the last few years, kind of going everywhere and learning the game so much overseas. This is going to be a fun one.
I appreciate you having me on the show, man. I watch a lot of your podcasts. I like what you're doing, and it's really informational in terms of putting out basketball content, you know, for the people that's interested in the game. So I appreciate you having me on the show.
I appreciate that means so much to me, right, knowing that, right, you're listening, and that the content I'm making is, right, someone that's around the game as much as yourself is enjoying it. But I mean, obviously, right, and you've probably enjoyed a lot of different content. You've seen so much of the game over the last few years. Where did kind of the passion for basketball kind of start for you? Where did you kind of realize that this is what you love to do and that you're going to kind of go full swing into this?
Always enjoy basketball. I mean, like, I'm from the west side of Detroit, so, you know, you either playing basketball or you're playing football, but basketball was a kind of sport that I chose and kind of sport that I tried to excel in. But that's pretty much where I got my passion from, the game, playing on the playgrounds. You know, I'm kind of grew up in the era where I used to play on the playground a lot, play in the middle of the street, you know, so that kind of like progressed to kind of like wanted to really do this for, you know, go to college and then try to play after college. But man, it just came from just playing in the street, to be honest.
Well, so then being like a young kid in Detroit, who were some of maybe your favorite guys in the Pistons, maybe growing up? You had some pretty good teams growing up.
Grant Hill, for sure, man. Like I said, I was a diehard Pistons fan. I used to tape all the games. If they win, I would go to bed happy. If they lose, I'm sad the next day. I used to be that type of fan. But Grant Hill, by far, my favorite Piston, by far. Obviously, I was around when they had Chauncey. Chauncey, one of my favorite players ever. You know, obviously, I like Chauncey. I like Rip, you know, Tayshaun, man, Ben Wallace. Man, we had some good teams throughout the years, man. So it was always good just being a Pistons fan. But I enjoyed the Pistons even when they were losing, when they had Grant Hill. So, you know, I'm a diehard Pistons fan because that's where I'm from.
Oh, I love that. It's cool thinking about that. And then, right, in terms of playing, like, obviously playing college and stuff, what did that kind of look like for you as you really kept on trying to get to the next level? Right before, maybe after you started coaching, but what did the playing experience look like for you as you got to college?
I went to a small NAIA school. Probably could have took a different route, but looking back at it, that was a really good path for me to take. School I went to was really good. We're nationally ranked every year. They used to recruit a lot of inner city kids, but it was kind of like in the middle of nowhere, you know. So it was great for me because I had to adjust from going from inner city Detroit to going to a school where population is like less than 10%, you know, African American people. So that kind of like helped me learn how to blend in with different people, learn how to blend in with different cultures. And that kind of like helped me moving forward when I went overseas to different places. So forever grateful for that experience that I had in college.
I love that, right? Thinking how it's maybe an untraditional path, but it's something that really shaped you and gave you some experience for when you got later on. Did you know you were going to be coaching when you were in college, or like, was that something that once you stopped playing, like, you know what, this guy should be really cool?
No, I always wanted to hoop. Obviously, like, you know that, you know, you want to coach in the back of your mind, you know, but like I said, when we used to have like the team camps, you know, I was either refereeing or coaching some of the camps that they used to run at the college when I used to stay up there for the summer. So I always enjoy coaching. But for me, I was kind of like had tunnel vision. Like I just want to play after school. I just want to play after college. And that was kind of like, you know, what I put my mind to.
Okay, awesome. So then what did it kind of look like for you before you started going internationally, and like when you were in the States, maybe picking up? I mean, I saw right on your LinkedIn, if anyone goes to your LinkedIn, they start pressing show more. You're going to be doing that for a while. You've done a lot of cool things. Maybe being like a video coordinator, like you did a lot of cool stuff, video, scouting. What did that look like for you? And maybe just doing as much as you could to have those skills for like right now, right? Being a head coach, like what did those skills look like for you early on in developing those for what you're doing now?
Yeah, well, like I said, I always wanted to play. Like, I took a really non-traditional route to playing after school. Like I said, I went to a bunch of camps like a lot of guys do. I played in all the semi-pro leagues, ABA, IBL, PBL, you know, just trying to get an opportunity. But I ended up getting opportunity to go to Australia in like 2011. And I went there. I played in this league called the Big V League, which they still have, but they kind of like rebranded everything to the NBL One. I went to that league. I did well. I got an opportunity to go to Europe to play in the UK. I did well there. And I just came back to Australia. And I was in Australia from 2011 to 2018, pretty much. So a lot of different things in terms of coaching. Because like the way the system is set up in Australia, the second league runs in, which is like the state leagues, like Big V, Waratah League, Queen, the QBL. Like they kind of rebranded everything now. But the way the league is set up, you will play in the off season opposite the NBL season. And then I will stay over there for the rest of the season and, you know, just work with kids and training and just doing teaching and coaching, you know? So I got a lot of reps in just doing that, like just teaching basketball to young kids, going to schools. And most of the clubs that I was at, you know, I would have a huge hand in, you know, in the junior development, you know? So I would kind of like have a dual role where I would be the import player, but then throughout the season, I would have to monitor all the kids coming up through the program, you know, putting them on different teams. So I got a lot of hands-on experience and was fortunate enough to be thrown in those type of environments where I had to do a lot of things. That's kind of like how I kind of organically grew into the roles that I have now. I just organically grew into being able to be a head coach and just being able to manage different tasks.
Skill acquisition is huge, and right, and being in Australia for those 7 years, I'm sure, right, you learned so much that, right, I mean, in all these different roles you were in, a lot of the people that I've spoken to that have coached or done anything in Australia have been there for a while. I feel like everyone that kind of goes there falls in love with it and stays there and loves it. What made you like realize after year one or year two, you know what, I kind of like this place, let me stay here for a few more years?
Good question, man. Like I said, I was over there for 8 years. I mean, my kids was born there. It was tough to leave, but I got to a stage where I felt I was just reaching my max there. Like, you know, the highest level is there is NBL. And I was like, if I stay here, will I really get to that full-time level of NBL by being a foreign coach? Like, I didn't know that. I didn't know an answer to that. So me and the wife, she's from America as well. She was over there for me for 7 years as well. We just decided to move back home. I didn't even really have a plan. I just knew that I felt like I kind of like did everything I wanted to do as a player. And I had some success playing and coaching, and it was just time for a different change. So we just ended up moving back to the States, you know, didn't have anything planned, just came back. I was just like, let's just see where this gets us.
So I love it, right? Most people are like maybe super frantic, like, okay, let's have a plan. You said, let's come here and let's figure it out. What did it look like for you? I mean, you ended up with the College Park Skyhawks shortly after you got back. I mean, what did that look like for you in getting there?
Look, I always knew that I wanted to move, eventually wanted to move back. I just didn't know when. You know, so even prior to that, you know, I'll just take it back a little bit. So in my off season, when I wasn't playing, you know, I would kind of like try to work with different teams, pro teams, like doing advanced scouting, you know. So I ended up working with a lot of different teams doing that. You know, at first it started off just, you know, like just doing free work, you know, like how everybody started off. Then, you know, I was getting good at it. Then, you know, a lot of this stuff became, you know, paid opportunities. But I would just work with as many teams as possible just to kind of learn, like, different offenses from around the world. I kind of, like, got a great opportunity doing that. And, you know, I just, like I said, I just felt I got to a stage where it was time to, you know, just try some new things, you know, because me, I'm the type of person, like, I like to try and experience new things, and I don't want to be feel like I'm just stuck doing the same thing every day. So really essentially how I got with the Skyhawks is like how I get every job, a cold email. Like, and I know a lot of people have done this, but really that's how I really get mainly all my opportunities, like a cold email, you know, professional email, showing them like examples of the work that I can do, just being knowledgeable about the league and just trying to get a conversation with like the decision makers there. But man, I got that job with the Skyhawks, a cold email, like, no connections, just sent the email, and I ended up getting a response back from the coach, Noel Gillespie, and we ended up talking, and man, I worked with the Skyhawks that season off that. So unconventional route, you know, but it does work. I know a lot of people, you know, frown upon the cold emails, but for me, I got a lot of opportunities like that, a lot of opportunities.
I'm definitely not one of those people who's going to frown on it, because that's how I built up this show, is through cold emails and cold LinkedIn messages and cold DMs. Like, it's just, I mean, I should rename the show Freezing Gens. I mean, at this point, everything I'm doing is just cold outreach. Just love that. And I definitely want to hear more about it, some of those other times you've done that. But coming back, it's funny. I'm always asking guests about the adjustment going overseas. Was there any sort of adjustment for you coming back to the States after spending so much time away?
Oh, man, it was a huge adjustment. I can't even lie to you. Like I said, when I was in Australia, I played for 3 different teams, worked with another different team as a head coach. So I was really, like, entrenched in that culture there. Like, I lived there for 8 years. Like, my kids, when they came back, they was, 6 and 3? You know, so they went to school there. You know, they got a little Australian accent, you know, so I really became a part of that culture. And, you know, when I came back, it was a huge adjustment for me, honestly. Not only from a basketball standpoint, but just a culture standpoint. Like, it's just a different lifestyle, man. So I had to really adjust quickly. Even when I got to the G League, it was a lot of adjusting to do, a lot of adjusting. But I just came in with the mindset, like, I want to come in, just learn all I can learn about the NBA game. Because the international game, I already felt I had a vast knowledge of, but I wanted to learn the NBA game. So I just wanted to come in and just be a sponge and just try to be as beneficial and helpful as I can in all areas to the organization. So that was kind of like my mindset.
Oh, I love that, right? And coming in and just saying, okay, what can I learn about this league, right? After being gone so long, adjusting back to life in the U.S. and right, doing it in a great way down in the G League, right after you got back. But right after, you had some head coaching experience before in Australia, but what was it like then? I mean, because TBL is awesome. Like, I actually had to see it firsthand when I was in Vegas. I probably told you, I went to the their pro combine and got to see it firsthand for myself with Dan and Cornell and everyone down there. But what was it like maybe for you then making that switch? Now you're back to being a head coach of a team in a league that, you know, in the last year or so has really just been exploding with teams, talent, like, just you name it.
Like I said, in Australia, I was the player coach for 4 years, you know, so that's one interesting thing that I feel has helped me along the way. Like, I'm a player and I'm a coach at the same time, you know, so it really helped me understand, you know, how to set things up where people can kind of feel comfortable coming in and just trying to build a winning program and just trusting what you're trying to do. So I felt that even when I came back to the States, I had so many different experiences, like, just in that role, just being a player coach. You know, we had imports on the team. I worked with different imports, and my whole thought process was, you know, helping guys get better and helping guys get to the next level. And that kind of allowed me to have some success. But when I came back to the States, when I got after the G League ended because of COVID, you know, I ended up getting a job in the TBL, which is a really good up-and-coming league. This experience this year was great. It was probably one of the best I've had, just in terms of being able to work with some high-level players that's trying to get to the next level. I enjoy the TBL. I thought it was a great league, how they set it up. I mean, just for my team, man, we had, I mean, 4 guys is overseas right now. One guy might get a contract. So out of the 12 or 13 guys that I coach, 4 of them is overseas. So I felt that we had a great year. And the most important thing for me was just getting guys to the next level. I was grateful for that TBL opportunity. Honestly, I was grateful for it.
The TBL is awesome, and it's great hearing you maybe talk about, right, being a part of such a high-level team with high-level guys. When you brought up the fact that, like, it was cool having guys that were trying to get to the next level, what was the question that in my mind that I haven't thought of before in terms of, like, you had mentioned before how in Australia you maybe hit your max. What's it like, I mean, whether it's as a coach or as a player, maybe what's the next level when you're overseas compared to the next level when you're here, which for a lot of people in the TBL might be the NBA or the G League?
That's a good question, man. Like, that's kind of, like, one of the main reasons I just decided, you know, to leave Australia, because, like, I feel like the highest level is obviously the NBL, you know. So, you know, you in second league, you know, a lot of the guys, you know, are content playing at that level. You know, you don't find a lot of guys that actually want to excel to that next level. So I wanted to just get to an environment where I was like, I wanted to come to a team or environment where everybody wanted to get to the next level and wanted to excel at basketball. That was kind of like one of the reasons, the main reason I decided to move back home, because, like, you know, in the States, a lot of guys are taking that initiative and they want to get to the next level and they want to progress.
I could so see that being something that really is a difference maker and changes things up and makes just the whole approach to the season very different. But the Geisung Steelers, right, in the P League, and I've had so many guests out from the P League, which has been incredible. Having like all these coaches and this league's really just taking off now, and it's becoming something to take notice of. But you're the first coach in their history. So, I mean, that's I think so interesting. That's like such a cool thing. What did it look like for you in becoming, right? Like how did that even work to be noticed by a team that's all the way in Taiwan?
Yeah, that's a good question, man. It's the guy on my team. He had an agent. He's like he was just getting to the business, the NBA certified agent. And he was actually shopping his players around, this player that's on my team. He was shopping these guys around, you know. But me and him had a relationship. I introduced him to some guys on my team, and he would ask me a lot of different questions. So we kind of just developed a relationship like that. And he was shopping his players to this team. I don't even know how he got in contact with him, to be honest. But they hit him back and was like, you know, we're looking for ex-G League players. Here's the budget. Also, would you know of a head coach with, you know, NCAA Division I or Division II experience? I didn't have none of that. I don't have a college experience, but I think I have different experiences that kind of equates out or could even be more beneficial in a way. So he ended up asking me, was I interested? And I told him, yeah, and he gave me the guy's number. Again, instead of a cold email, it was a cold WhatsApp message. I didn't even know who I was messaging, to be honest. But he ended up telling the guy about me, and I ended up messaging the guy, and this guy ends up being the GM of the team. I didn't even notice. So we ended up just talking for like 3 weeks, and I felt that it was some interest. So I just applied more pressure. Like, you know, I sent him all my work when I first contacted him. I sent him a different portfolio of everything that I did, like all the work that I did in the G League, that encyclopedia of G League players that I did. I sent him that, like how I will set up a program. And, you know, he asked me, what did I know about Asian basketball? Which was the question. It was easy for me to answer because I had did a lot of work in that region working with this team in the ABL, which is like the EuroLeague of the Asian market. I had to work with this team called Macau. So I was the scout for them. So I just knew all the players and all the teams. So he asked me about Asian basketball, and I just gave him a rundown of it. I think that's kind of like what gave me an edge. Man, I got that job just a cold WhatsApp message and a couple of Zoom calls. And they said they was looking for a young, energetic coach. And when he said that, I was like, man, this is me. Like this is exactly who I am. So I ended up getting a job like that, man. I wasn't even looking for it. I knew it was a good league, but I didn't think that it would happen like that. But that's how opportunities come about. I was just more than ready for when we were ready to talk about it. But that's how I got the job, man. Nicole, what's that message?
I love that, because I maybe sent like two or three of those total. I've sent thousands of LinkedIn ones, a bunch of DMs, but very few WhatsApp messages. So for that to turn out so perfectly for you is really cool, thinking about that. Yeah. And obviously just like, right, like just the whole process of becoming the first coach of a team is I always find that super interesting, because right, that's the start of a whole new part of history for this league, for this team. I think that's super cool. You mentioned about how you had other experience in like in another Asian league and how that helped you out so much. And like, how did that work out? Like when you were in Australia, were you also, was that some virtual stuff? Were you traveling to Asia and doing stuff there? Like, how did that all play out?
Yeah. So again, like when my season ended, and my season would run from March to August, and then a lot of other leagues in Europe or overseas started up. So I started working with this team called the Macau Black Bears, working with this guy named Lucas Ping, who's like really, really, really smart, analytical guy, know how to set teams up. So I was like the advanced for them, kind of negotiated. I was like, look, can I come over there in December for like 6 weeks? So I ended up going over there with the team. Obviously, I was doing all the work remotely, doing the advanced scouting. But I went over there with the team, was able to spend time with the team and travel with the team. And that's kind of like where I was like, I actually love this Asian market. I would love to get here one day. And that was in like 2018. Another interesting thing about that is that when they did their due diligence on me, they actually called this guy that I worked for in 2018, and he spoke highly of me. All this stuff is kind of like interchangeable. That's why, you know, I always try to tell my players, like, it's very important that wherever you go, you try to make an impact and, you know, have some good things for people to say about you. Every guy that got a job on my team this year, like, somebody called me, whether it was the coach or the agent. Like, I spoke to somebody that was asking about how they was. It happens every time. So that's just kind of like the thing that I like to do. I like to go places where when I leave, people can speak highly of me. So that's kind of like how I like to operate. I like to protect my reputation and just do good things by people.
It's huge, and that's what maybe helps you get to where you are now, to where, like, right, people speak highly of you. That's how you become the first head coach of a team, when maybe no one in the organization knew of you on, you know, right away. They didn't know of you beforehand, but they spoke to people and they figured it out. Okay, DeMarcus, he knows his stuff. Let's get him in. Because maybe I don't know him right away, but someone I trust knows him, and that's all that matters, really, right? So that's really cool thinking about that and how that worked and how that works. How did maybe the season go for you? Finally getting down there, once you got there, getting set up, like, what did that whole process look like?
Currently still in the States, was supposed to leave last month. The dates keep getting pushed back because the borders is closed. So, I mean, everything right now is just done remotely. Like, I'm really, like, just operating everything just from the computer. But I will say that I'm organized in terms of a culture, how things is set up, and we got a great staff in terms of who all we have, like, this, in terms of the coaches and the GM and the front office. So, we are in constant communication. It's just a seamless process right now. So right now, you know, our guys is doing strength and conditioning with the strength and conditioning coach, and then they getting up a lot of shots and player development. And I'm just watching everything through video and just critiquing everything. But I have everything set up in terms of the system I'm running around. The guys know what it is. I kind of like had to take a step back and realize that I was going to a different country. So I kind of like broke everything down to the very fine detail of this action is this. This is what we do. Here's a video of it. Here's a diagram of it. Here, it's also translated in Chinese or Mandarin. A lot of the work I've been doing is a lot of groundwork in terms of just setting up the program, but I think that it's going to really pay off just in terms of how we're going to just be in terms of organization on and off the court.
That's huge. That's what I was so curious about, is right, with all these barriers that might be getting in the way, like Zoom, like all these things that might make things a challenge, how you're overcoming that and making things as seamless as possible. So I know that the league streams all their games. So I have to make sure, I got to make sure to set an alarm or something to make sure I'm up, to make sure I can tune in to one or two. I'll post something on Instagram. I'm looking forward to that and seeing you in action down there with everybody. But overall, I mean, I'm really excited we got to have this time to talk and got to quick preview of what's to come. It's going to be awesome.
I appreciate that, man. Look, I'm excited about going to the P League. Man, this ran extremely well. The guy that runs it, Blackie Chan, man, the marketing is top tier. Like, I just think in a couple of years, like, this league will be a preferred destination, you know, for a lot of guys. Like, the league is good, just in terms you get some high-level imports because they can earn a good salary there. But the talent of the local players is improving. And, you know, I just want to just go over there and make an impact, get some wins, develop some players and put a good culture in place where it's going to be conducive to winning. So, man, I'm excited about the opportunity. I'm blessed for it. And, you know, I'm more than ready for it. And I'm going to grab it with both hands and just be ready.
Basketball in Taiwan is next up. But, I mean, Coach Marcus Berry is more than ready to take it on. And you're next up as well for that challenge. So can't wait to see it. I appreciate you coming on. And it's going to be fun watching how that plays out.
Thank you. I appreciate it, man. Thanks for having me on the show. I mean, keep doing what you're doing. Like I said, I met you in Vegas and you a guy that grinds, man. So keep doing what you're doing and keep putting out this great content, you know, for the basketball world.
Thanks for listening to Gen Z Hoops. Make sure to follow, like, and subscribe on Instagram, LinkedIn, and all major social media platforms at Gen Z Hoops. You can tune in and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, and every other podcast platform on the planet. Get ready for the next episode.